Today we're talking with Joe Orozco. Joe is the general manager of KIDE-FM, the radio station in Hoopa, California. Joe, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I've been looking forward to this.
Same here. I wanted to just ask you what the history of KIDE is and what community you're serving at the station.
Well, the history won't start at 37 years ago. On December 16th, 1980, we had first wanted to have a 10-watt radio station, but the FCC said if you want a radio station, you have to go full power as they stopped licensing 10-watt stations. So we jumped into the full-powered non-commercial educational channels. And there was a release from the FCC that they were going to license 14 new stations to Indian country, and 98 tribes applied, and we got one of the 14. And the community we serve is the Hoopa Valley, primarily the Hoopa Valley. Our antenna, our tower, is on the valley floor, which is 1,155 feet below the height of the average terrain. So we broadcast from the bottom of a bowl. And so we can't go too high, otherwise we'll be bouncing our multi-tracking our signal across the mountains here.
So what's the programming like at KIDE?
Well, we started out kind of like a rock station in the early days, but then we got to thinking, well, you got a radio station, you got a radio signal, and should be having some more content rather than music that you can hear on just about any other channel. So we started looking at creating some local programming that would be reflective of the community. What are the tribal departments doing? And we start out giving some examples of six different types of radio shows you could do, education, environmental things, community affairs programs, and we got some feedback from, or actually we got some involvement from other tribal departments that say, yeah, I'd like to use some radio time to talk about what we're doing and give people an update. And so a couple of departments took that on, and that was really exciting. So we thought, wow, this is kicking off really well. Then I got involved with NFCB, and they did a programming production workshop. And they were looking at some similar things about developing target audiences, identifying who is your target audience, because you can't serve everybody. So who will you focus on? So I looked about and thought about this, and I had one of our staff with us at the time, and we talked about it, and we decided, well, you know, nothing gets done, and nothing gets started, and nothing gets stopped in this community without the involvement of Native women between the ages of 25 and 55. Those are the movers and the shakers. They can get things started, they can get things stopped. Just need to be able to give them the information that they need to start or stop something and get them organized to do something. And well,
will you say that again, Joe, just to make sure that everybody catches that?
The demographic that we're going after, our target audience, is Native American women between the ages of 25 and 55. And we chose that population because in our community, nothing gets started and nothing gets stopped without that group effort of that population. Native American women between the ages of 25 and 55. You look at anything that has been started, is successful. You look at anything that we've been trying to stop, and it doesn't stop unless you can get the critical mass of that population saying, we want this to stop. And that's what happens. It happens every time. I think that's normal for most indigenous communities around the world. So that's what we use, that's what we target, and we start looking at other national produced programs that have that type of a slant to them. What is the information that our target audience needs to hear? Well, we need to hear about health care, we need to know about family care, business startup, basic environmental issues. What are the hazardous things, and what would make your family healthier, and what harms should you be aware of? And so we start looking at that. Other programs were available, Making Contact, Counterspin, Democracy Now, Wings. We looked at the Native American programming. A lot of the programs that were produced by other women, we start featuring these and building our program grid of what would we broadcast on. And we did this over a period of 3 years. And each year we did a survey. There was a company that did a telephone survey for us. They're from out of the area. And they did a sample of 300 phone calls within our prefixed area. And we found out over a period of 3 years that, yes, our audience had shifted from the younger generations listening to a lot of rock and roll to what we were targeting, Native American women between the ages of 25 and 55. And so since that time, that was back in the late 90s that we start venturing in that direction. And we've been holding that pattern and trying to think, well, how can we even do better? So that's where we're at. That's where we've been, and that's where we're at.
All right. Well, and it sounds like you were seeking out programming that was conversations about social justice and thought-provoking conversations, not just music. So I think that's really interesting, too, is that that's what you're putting out there to help feed the minds and the hearts of and the souls of people, too. Are you producing locally produced programming at KID as well?
Well, we have a Health Matters program that it started about 10, 12 years ago that we had a local volunteer producer, and she had this idea of doing a program she wanted to call Health Matters, and she used to do it in our studio and invite people to come in and talk about health issues. But then she moved out of the area, but she wanted to continue that program. So what she decided to do and proposed was to write a 5-minute script. And our staff would voice that script. And so we have a 5-minute weekly program. And we've been doing that for over 10 years now. And just in 2017, Ernesto Aguilar posted in the Medium online magazine, he posted an article of the 12 podcasts you need to hear in 2017. And we were number 9.
Oh, my gosh, Joe. Congratulations. That's wonderful.
I asked him about, why did you choose that? And I'm just curious, because we're there with KALW and bigger stations across the country or in California and surrounding area. And he says, well, because no one else is doing that program. No one else is doing anything like that. And it's important.
Why do you think it's important to have a community radio station, especially in a rural area like Hoopa?
Oh, that's simple. Emergencies. Things happen. And people, the safety of our people, we're a rural community. There's one road out either way, a major, the Highway 96. There's only one. You pass through Hoopa. It's got one bridge. That bridge goes out, and you can't get across the river unless you got a boat. And if the water's really high, you don't want to risk that. So forest fires happen, the air quality diminishes, people are in peril, their health is endangered by a lot of things. So people, when things happen like that, people turn to the radio station because we have the pulse on the situation. We're in contact with the Office of Emergency Services here. We're part of the task force, so people feed us the information that we need. We go online and get the air quality monitoring reports, and we announce these constantly at the top of the hour, especially in the air quality smoke-related events. We had the Megrin fire back in back in 1999, something like 98, 99, when the air quality was so low that the Center for Disease Control didn't have a way to measure that level of smoke in a small area like us. Mm-hmm. So we set a new standard on smoke conditions. Now, you couldn't see 200-300 feet ahead of you. People in the daytime had to drive with their lights on. Our fence that was like 200-300 feet away from us, we couldn't see that. It would just disappeared in the smoke.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had these smoke level alerts that they say stage one, stage two, and people would call us up. So what's a stage level? And, well, they didn't give us the reading. And maybe once in the morning and once in the evening, but people are calling us all the time and want to know what the stage level was. So we got to learn what the stage levels were by going out, looking out our front window and seeing how far we can see. If Ball Hill was really kind of just a shadow thing, well, that's stage four. But if you couldn't see Bald Hill, but you could see some other trees on stage three, and if you couldn't see the Marshall's house, which isn't too far from us, we'd say, hey, we're in stage four, stay inside. So we just did this visual, and we'll say this is unofficial. We're not scientists, and we don't have the monitoring equipment, but just by experience, just right. Look at it. You know?
If you can't see the Marshall's house, it's stage four.
Yeah, if you can't see that far, stay in the house.
Well, aside from the public safety aspect, which is obviously really, really important, what are some other ways that the community radio station benefits a community like Hoopa?
Well, I don't know if it's a benefit. It was definitely a change. You know, before we had radio, we used to have about, three or four, maybe a dozen different bulletin boards around the community, and gas stations and storefronts and post office and schools. And you could see the fluttering of different color pages just flapping in the breeze. And there's all a mixed match of, people would take down somebody's flyer or tape over their flyer. And then when the radio started, people start submitting their public service announcements to us, and the bulletin boards were less cluttered.
There you go. Well, that's a
so we kind of cleaned up the visuals a little bit. And, a few less pieces of paper flying around and floating around town. That was a noticeable thing that happened. And other things that happened is when we first started the radio station, we had a lot of people just come here want to play different genres of music. And when most of it was rock and roll. So we always had somebody doing live announcements. So that's what filled the airtime, was music and local PSAs. So we were able to talk amongst ourselves, share what was happening, what events were coming up. And then as we start developing some local programming, some community affairs programming, we got a little bit more detailed about things. One person who was working for one of the education programs actually came up with a bingo game based on the Hoopa language. So he called it Natinawait Bingo. Natinuk Bingo. And it was in our language, and he made up the games, and he started out with very simple items, body parts, and then went into animals and went into started eventually getting into phrases. And we do it once a week at 2 o'clock. That's when the high school was doing their Hoopa language program or classes, so the students could play along. And we found out that a lot of tribal departments were listening to it, and we were getting a lot of calls from the tribal departments who were playing along with the game, and they wanted to recite their winning bingo card.
That's excellent.
Yeah, it was a great game. It changed as that person moved on, and so he just hands it off to somebody else, teaches them, and every once in a while we'll get a young person who'll pick that up and broadcast some more games. So
you have an idea for another game show on KIDE, right?
Oh, gee, I have one. I'm still playing around with in the back of my mind. It is based on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to call it Wait, In It. And because we always say, hey, In It? Yeah. Hey, who's that? Oh, In It so-and-so? Yeah, okay. Well, if we took it local, just focused on local news. Our history book, Hoopa Tribal History Book, is called Our Home Forever. Well, what if we take some segments out of that book, some facts, and came up with some questions? I don't know if we'd have a panel. I haven't thought that far into it.
When you get Wait, In It on the air, I hope that you'll let me know and share that with me. I definitely want to hear that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, we'll have to have podcasts that then we can share that on there.
You talked about having young people on the air contributing content with a Hoopa language bingo. And you've had other young people in Hoopa contribute, like digital stories and things like that. Can you talk about that outreach and the community involvement that takes place at KIDE?
Well, we've been trying to nurture along what we call Yahachohole. It's people telling stories. Traditionally, we in the wintertime is storytelling time. So what we created was Yahachohole, people telling stories. And it's not on the radio. We use a local site, and sometimes it's a school. Sometimes it's the cafeteria at the elementary school. Sometimes it's the old courthouse. And one time it was over at the motel conference room. Just invite, open it up, and let people come in and share stories and listen to stories. And then we provide food, open the mic, and let people share whatever they want to share, either a story. It doesn't have to be a traditional story. It doesn't have to be a moral story. It could be a story about your first car. Let's talk about your first car. Let's talk about your first dog. Let's talk about something in your life, you know, something that happened, something that made you happy, something that made you sad, something you'd like to share. It's because sharing stories allows people to bond. We get to understand them a little bit more. Maybe something that we never heard them talk about before. So they go, oh, gee, just another insight on your character. And, oh, okay, I understand you a little bit more. So that builds community. So we try to keep that going every year.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a really interesting event to participate in. If you go and listen to a storyteller and then get to tell your own story. I know you've done like digital storytelling before and things like that. What do you think the benefit is of having a Native American radio station in a community?
Well, we're the only Native American radio station in Humboldt County. Proud and lonely fact. there should be more, because there's so much news and wealth within the Native communities, the Hoopa, Yurok, Karuk, Talawa, Wiyat, all the tribes, all the communities. There's such rich heritage, the things that people need to know, all people need to know, and things that we can share. And there's stories. Oh my God, there's so many stories. It's a never-ending project just to go about and listening to people tell their experience and share their humor and share the joy and share the history and heritage of their families. It's a never-ending process. So other than the emergency situations that we might come, you know, you got the whole tsunami on the coast, that whole thing. Well, okay, yes, you need some radio. But in the meantime, in between things, what's more enriching than sharing stories with one another? And yeah, there's a lot of great music out there and a lot of important news programs, but still, it always boils down to community. You know, what is the health of the community, and how can you keep the sanity of a community other than sharing insights and experiences? And that's what we've always done throughout the ages, was don't eat that plant, and this one is really good for you, and don't go in the woods during December, because just leave it alone because it's doing its own thing. Well, why is that? Well, because it's kind of dangerous out there in big winds and heavy rains, and we just stay away. So we have these whole cultural understandings that were interpreted differently than they would be interpreted now, but they still have the same meaning and the same value.
And I think something that you said earlier about people bonding through stories and through understanding each other a little bit better, that's really important, you know, because a community that's bonded is strong, you know, and they can make really good things happen. I think there's so much that can be gained from us really understanding our neighbors and respecting who they are, you know, and once you get to know them. KID is a valuable resource in Hoopa, and I think you're right, it would be valuable all over. Is there anything else you would like to say to the coastal audience here?
Well, one of the things that I have been able to just popped in my mind one day, well, it came out of community radio, and there was back last October, they decided to have National Community Radio Day. That's what it was. So I thought, well, how about, well, November is National Native American Heritage Month. So why don't we shoot for November the 20th to be Native Media Day? So the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors actually made that declaration. And then the Hoopa Valley Tribal Council also made that declaration to have the third Monday of November to be Native Media Day. So it's not just the radio, it's any form of media that we Native people use, because there's a lot of newsletters out there, there's websites, all kinds of podcasts. People need to communicate, and getting the Native word out and the Native thought out, I think that Native Media Day is a way to bring some attention to all the work that Native people have done to talk amongst themselves and go across cultural barriers and do this cross-cultural understanding of where we live right here in the greater Humboldt County.
You guys are pretty strong with media out in Hoopa too, because you have the Two Rivers Tribune as well. You got a radio station and a newspaper out in Hoopa.
Yes, we're the only tribe that has that.
Okay, that's an informed population out there on Highway 96. Joe Orozco, General Manager of KIDE-FM in Hoopa, thank you so much for speaking with me today. It's been such a pleasure, and I hope you'll come back on the KHSU Magazine and talk with me again sometime soon.
I would like that again, so thank you very much for inviting me, and I wish you all well.